this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk about a boogie woogie, and I'm going to play one.
I'm Steve Vinson.
And I'm Paul Schultz.
And this is the Don't Panic Radio Show. Sit back, relax, and ignore the news. Nothing you're about to hear is true.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to 2019. Happy New Year, Paul.
Happy New Year to you too, my friend.
It's good to see you. It's good to see your face.
Yes. Digitized though it is.
So we're back and better than ever. The last show was the live show, which turned out to be pretty freaking hilarious.
Yeah.
I say anybody who hasn't listened should go back and listen now. It was one of those where you don't even need to know us. If you're a new listener, you don't even need to know us. Just go listen. It's got my wife on it. She's funny. We're all funny. It's just really funny.
We covered some pretty universally, you know, humorous subject matter.
I think so. I think so. And we learned a few things. It's educational as well. Speaking of being back, listeners will remember that the last softcore history, we're doing softcore history today, in case you guys, just so you know, we're doing softcore history. It's like you can get excited. If you didn't notice that in the title where it says SCH, that stands for softcore history.
I'm already excited.
The last one was World War One. We did that for in honor of Armistice Day and veterans everywhere. But it sort of interrupted my softcore history series, the American Civil War. And we're back to 2019, back in the routine. We're going to get back to the Civil War series. And I'm going in order, sort of. If you remember, you may not remember, and I wouldn't blame you if you didn't. People listen to all sorts of podcasts. But the last time we did it, so we did Fort Knox, and then we did General Lee, who was a Northern general, left the Northern Army to go be the general of the Southern Army. Mm-hmm. And then he was off commanding some army somewhere. And then the North pulled together some troops because they figure they're just going to go down, put down this messy rebellion real quick. Like, got their butts kicked 25 miles south of Washington, D.C. At the First Battle of Manassas, which the South calls the Battle of Bull Run, the first Battle of Bull Run. And I think I mentioned at that time that they didn't call it the First Battle of Bull Run at the time because they didn't know there was going to be a second one. But there was a second one and then some subsequent events. And so at that point, after getting their butts kicked at the First Battle of Bull Run, the Union realized this is going to be a long, drawn-out, horrible, bloody war. So Lincoln raised a bunch more troops and commenced to putting armies in the field and fighting the Confederate States of America. So this is where now the story will pick up. And this story actually is pretty interesting for a number of reasons, and that I hope reveal themselves as we go along. But this is a story about one of those inflection points. And there are several of them in the Civil War. But this one, actually, I don't know if you know who Harry Turtledove is, but he wrote a lot of alternate history.
Yeah, I knew the name sounded familiar.
Yeah, one of his big, well, he's unique in writing alternate histories in that he'll mix in science fiction with the alternate history.
Yeah.
So it'll be like, what if aliens invaded during World War One?
Yeah.
You know, but one of the ones he did that didn't involve a lot of alien are a lot of science fiction, but mainly just straight up what if history had happened differently. Mm-hmm. Happened, and these what if stories always have an inflection point. And this story that I'm about to tell has one of those inflection points, and Harry Turtledove used it as, what if that didn't happen? Hmm. then the South probably would have won the war. And if they had won the war, here's how history would have unfolded from there. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So the story I'm going to read is how it actually did happen. And the amazing thing is it's how history always seems inevitable in hindsight. But the neat thing about this is you could kind of see how it turns on a dime. And if it hadn't quite happened this way, the South might have won and things would have been different. Even if they hadn't won, things still would have been different. Okay. So without further ado, unless you have some ado, do you have any ado on your side?
No, I got no ado today.
All right, I got no more ado. After whipping the Union troops at Bull Run just 25 miles south of Washington, the South had been on a winning streak. They beat Grant at Shiloh. They repelled the Union siege of Richmond. The Army of Northern Virginia beat the Yanks again at Bull Run at the Second Battle of Bull Run. All with inferior numbers and a battered supply line. General Lee was having his way with the North. In September of 1862, his plan was to keep them on their heels and move in for a fatal blow. He would invade the North through a somewhat friendly Maryland, march into Pennsylvania, and beat them on their home field, and at that point gain recognition from the European powers. The Union would have no choice but to sue for peace. It was a good plan, a solid plan, and it was all spelled out in Lee's Special Orders 191. His orders were bold. General Stonewall Jackson would take three divisions across the Potomac River to secure a critical rail junction north of Frederick City, cutting off Union supply lines in that direction. General McLaws and two divisions would lay siege to the Union garrison at Harper's Ferry. And this would open up a new line of Confederate communications through the Shenandoah Valley. General D.H. Hill's division would serve as the rear guard. After a few days, these detachments would rejoin Generals Longstreet and General Lee, reuniting the Army of Northern Virginia. The reunited army would march to Pennsylvania for a decisive victory against McClellan and the Union Army of the Potomac on northern soil. Corporal Barton Mitchell of Company F of the 27th Indiana Volunteer Infantry had been up since 0300 that Saturday morning. They'd been marching for 3 hours, and he was glad to rest his feet and his men that morning. Off in the distance, he recognized Mr. Clay's house from last winter. He even saw the cabins where they had wintered last year before marching into the South in the spring to get their butts kicked. Now here they were marching all over Maryland to try and catch General Lee before he took over the whole damn country. There were no bridges over the Monocacy River, so they had to wade across. It was warm and only knee deep, but still, no soldier likes wet feet. So it was nice to rest for a little bit. But the call came to get up and keep moving around 0700. It had been nice while it lasted. As he was about to form up his guys, Corporal Mitchell noticed an envelope mixed in with some leaves next to a little pile of sticks. Thinking it might be somebody's tobacco, he picked it up and checked it out. He was delighted to find that some poor fella left some cigars behind. Upon further inspection, he figured it was probably a Yankee officer, judging by the quality of the cigars, and he knew that the Confederate troops had been there the day before. So he unwrapped the cigars and shoved them into his pouch to enjoy later. He was about to just wad up the paper and toss it on the ground when he noticed that there was some writing on it. Handwriting. Not the pre-printed kind you would expect from the cigar shop. Back at Camp Morton in Indianapolis, he had learned to read a little better, and that was about to pay off and change history. He was holding in his hand a copy of General Lee's Special Orders 191. It was a copy that had been sent to General Hill, but had never been delivered. It was a copy of Special Orders 191 that had just fallen into the hands of the Union Army. So, of course, Corporal Mitchell passed the orders up the chain of command, and they reached General McClellan, who realized the importance of the find. Now, because the Union Army knew Lee's plans, they were able to draw him into battle and prevent the planned invasion of the North at the Battle of South Mountain and at the Battle of Antietam. September 17th, 1862 became the bloodiest day in American military history, with a combined tally of almost 23,000 dead, missing, or wounded, including Corporal Mitchell, who suffered a severe leg injury. He spent 8 months in the hospital recovering. As for General Lee and his army, they retreated back to the South to recuperate. The following summer, Lee would regather and regroup and invade the North again. And Corporal Barton Mitchell would be there waiting for him again, fighting General Lee's army at a little town called Gettysburg.
Wait, what?
Did you know that there are at least 23 million American adults who can't read a want ad?
Or a book?
That's why we have RIF.
RIF is reading is fundamental. Give a kid a book and you'll give a kid a break.
Ah, it feels good to be back. And obviously, the next softcore history will deal with Gettysburg, which it's going to be interesting trying to come up with the angle I want to take on that one. Because, I mean,
I'm excited.
Gettysburg is one that people tend to know a lot about.
Yeah.
So it won't just be a dry, like, here's what happened day one, day two, day three. I'll try to find an angle.
Gettysburg is the Stalingrad of the Civil War. We all learned about Stalingrad. That was pretty much it for the Eastern Front.
Yeah. It's like, and then something happened. Next. Yeah, Gettysburg. That's the address, right? That's that famous address.
That's right.
Okay, so we'll do Gettysburg, and then I'll probably do something about the Gettysburg Address, but it'll be wrapped up in a broader, like, because, you know, once Gettysburg happens, it's pretty much over.
Yeah.
Even though it's 2 years before the war ends, it's pretty clear that the war's over. And the fact that they couldn't freaking figure out how to end the war at that point, it's just...
How do you end a war?
Yeah, how do you end a war? Everybody's, are we done here? We're done? You done? Anybody got anything else? Yeah, 2 more years of bloody killing each other. Oh, okay.
Right. And this was also back before they were really like profiteering off of war, you know, because now we know not to end wars because they make money.
Oh, yeah. 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 So anyway, speaking of, does anybody have anything else? So it's good to get back into the swing of things.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to the future. So do you have anything else?
Well, actually, it's funny you would mention, you know, bloody battlefields in this episode, because last weekend, me and the boy spent the weekend at my folks' house, and as everyone knows, that's in Springfield Township.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, my dad decides he wants to go driving around and look at things, because that's what they do.
Yeah,
that's
what you do in Springfield Township.
Right, so, you know, he does all the usual spots, and we're just driving along, and my son is sitting beside me, and We're just watching mile after mile after mile of flat, gray nothing. Pockmarked with the occasional house with, like, rusty vehicles in front of it. And I looked at my son and I went, now you know why your dad read comics. And he just kind of looks at me like yeah, because there's nothing out here. And about that time, we turned the corner and we're going along. And I said, now, I'm like a tour guide. I told him, I said, now, if you look to your left, you will see the very fire station that your dad's best friend dressed up as Cinderella for Halloween. And he's like, that's the fire station? I'm like, yep, that's the fire station, boy.
It's like maps. It's like when you go to L.A., they have the maps to the stars' houses.
I should have been a double-decker van.
And on your left, you will see the fire station where the young transgendered Steve.
But the cool thing about it is riding along, doing all that, the idea for the next Halloween special radio broadcast popped up.
Ooh, I don't think I've heard this.
No, nobody has, in fact. I've told bits and pieces of it to people just to kind of bounce it off of them, but I don't want to say too much.
Well, you got to say something.
The thought occurred to me, you know, you see these bleak landscapes and you see these bleak people that occupy these landscapes.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked myself, which came first? Did the landscape shape the people, or did the people shape the landscape?
Mm.
And I just started mulling over ideas for that. So that'll
interesting.
That'll be the general. That's as much as I can say right now about that. But speaking of nightmares, I've been getting a steady trickle of people with customer service nightmares.
Oh, nice. Have they been PMing them to you, or?
Yes. In fact, somebody talked to me in person about it. So we're going to get together and see about how we're going to do his story. And it's hilarious. I'm not going to ruin nothing because it's too damn funny. But we'll get together. Actually, he and I are getting together Saturday, so I'll run it around with him and see what he wants to do about it.
What is it? He's the customer, or is he's any is
he's
it a bad
he
one
was
or
in
a
the
good
service
one?
Industry at that point.
Okay,
in his life.
Yeah, I was gonna say my niece asked if we are taking stories from those in the service industry to talk about customers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah,
that's what it's about.
Where was he working?
He was working in the bookstore in Michigan City.
All right. And he had a customer.
Yeah, I can't. I don't want to
customer
ruin it.
Interaction.
It's funny as hell. I don't
want to. First of all, you could probably say whatever you want and it wouldn't ruin it because I don't see how it could ruin it. Because, I don't know, you and I have a difference of opinion on that. We don't even
I've
get
noticed
into it
over
right
the
now,
years
but,
when it comes to spoilers, I've noticed that.
you tend to believe that everybody's sitting on the edge of their seat going, oh, I don't know anything about what he's talking about, but I really want to know.
Yeah.
Whereas the opposite is actually true. The only thing that gets people to want to hear more, is you telling them something. And the way you know that is watch any, like, advertising for any movie ever. They basically tell you almost the whole movie before you ever get there. Mm-hmm. And because they figured out they can't just, you never see a trailer where they go, we've had this really good idea about it's an adventure and it's an action thing, but we can't tell you any more than that. You know, they always give you like lots of details.
They do have these things called teaser trailers, and it's what precedes the main trailer.
Well, yeah, but it's never like, it's a monster movie, but we're not going to say what kind of monster, and we're not going to say where or what time frame or anything.
We'll have to agree to disagree on that.
Or we can have a podcast where we disagree to agree.
Right?
Well, that's exciting, I think. I'm not sure it's exciting because I don't know what you're talking about, but it sounds like it could be exciting. So, yeah, I'd tune in just to find out what you're talking about.
That's good advice.
Well, I mean, you do raise a good point. Dear listeners, send us your customer service stories, the good, the bad, and the ugly. If you are a service provider, you probably have more stories than the rest of us combined about how horrible customers can be. And it has been fun reading my niece's Facebook posts about, like, people don't realize we, you know, I love the old white lady coming in screaming at us about something we have absolutely no control over.
Oh, God. Yeah.
So this could turn out to be a pretty good segment. When my brother brought it up to me, and he was suggesting a brand new podcast. And I was like, ain't nobody got time for that. But we could create a segment, and if it becomes popular enough, we will do a whole podcast just on customer service tales from the dark side.
Everyone has at least three customer service nightmares.
Yeah, true.
And since this show is all about segments now, I think it'll become a popular segment.
I agree. So we're already gathering stories and material, and we welcome anybody's voice to be on the show too. We'll give credit as long as you guys give us permission to reveal who told us the story. We're happy to do that. Yeah. We would love to have your voice. You could just, you know, hit record on your iPhone or your Android phone and send us an audio file. We'll use that. We'll interview you live if you want. So whatever you guys want to do with it.
Step one, get in contact with us.
There you go.
Step two, cut a hole in the box. Anyway.
Yeah. It's easy to get a hold of us. Just go to the Facebook group. Most of you are Facebook friends with us already. If you're listening to this in the future, and there's some new way of contacting people, you could probably do that too. But we'll probably always have don'tpanicradioshow.com. So you can always go there and get a hold of us. But yeah, send us your material and we'll get it going. That having been said, we're also we're going to an every other week format. So set your alarm every other Thursday morning. So you'll know when the first one is because this show came out on that Thursday. So 2 weeks from when this show came out, there'll be another one. And then 2 weeks and 2 weeks and 2 weeks. So if you subscribe, it'll pop up in your feed every 2 weeks. Worry not, because we're still working weekly.
Yes.
But that just means twice as much work goes into each episode.
Yep. We've got a lot of things going on.
I just thought of that. What a great marketing. What a great, yeah, that's a brilliant marketing ploy.
Maybe you shouldn't use ploy.
Half as many episodes with twice as much work in each episode. So, I asked you in the beginning if you had any more ado. Do you have any more ado?
My ado is a done.
In that case, for Barton Mitchell and for Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Vinson, and nothing you just heard, you just heard, you just heard, was true, was true, was true, was true, was true, was true, was true.
Sometimes, Mouse, you think you know people, and then you don't. Then you wonder, have I met them before? But it doesn't matter. You're just information. That's what we keep inside our heads.